But I said, I think sex is like the zombie apocalypse, you know? Because, like, when I'm having sex, it's like, well, I don't have it, first of all. But, and there's not really an apocalypse. I'm ruining this. Let me end off that. I love being here in Knoxville. This is beautiful. I love you guys.
Tonight, in honor of perhaps the greatest American to ever live, we're going to, much like our incoming administration and all of their followers, take his words horribly out of context. We're going to talk about our dreams. If your dream happens to be people living in racial harmony in a post-racial state, then that's awesome. You can talk about that dream. But tonight we actually have several city council members, that's Friendly Town for comics and performers, who are going to be joining us tonight to tell us about a really weird, really perplexing dream that they had, and maybe try to make a little bit of sense out of it, or not. That part's up to them. So you guys ready?
Yeah.
All right. I think we can do a little bit better. We're recording this for Friendly Town Radio on iTunes, so please, are you ready?
Yeah!
All right, we're going to have a lot of fun tonight. We actually have a we have a dream that's going to be called in. Maybe, depending on my mood. We also have a video submission of a dream with, I think, an animation that was handmade by Friendly Town's very own Boston McCowan, who would probably be here every week if he didn't get paid to host trivia over at Prez Pub. So, you know, you can't really blame the guy. Trivia is a good gig. All right, so this is basically a brief demonstration of what we're going to be doing here tonight. I am Mayor Tyler. Whoever's on stage is the mayor of Friendly Town, the acting mayor of Friendly Town. That's the first rule. Rule number two, we exist in the Friendly Town universe. If you want a history of Friendly Town, it's available on our Facebook page and also in each copy of our zine. We have our wonderful bartending mayor, Todd, back there. Give it up for Todd. He'll be up here to talk about a dream in just a little bit. But right now, I want to bring you guys back to a dream that I had. I have one that's just labeled Pete Holmes dream. I don't know why. I dreamt I was working on the Pete Holmes show for that year that it existed. It's a damn shame, too. It was a good show. I'm going to bring you guys back to, I dreamt the state. We're standing next to a stage in an old town hall. Okay, I dreamt a woman in the geography office. There was one that I just pulled up. Block group communications. Getting to sleep last night. I dreamt that we were getting, oh, here we go. All right, bringing you guys back to December 2nd, 2014. That was when I woke up and hastily typed this out. So there might be some typos I have to work around. This is a very brief one, but I think it's very telling for the times that we live in right now. I dreamt we were in some post-apocalyptic land where SS-like soldiers corralled us all into buildings. I was ranting about how this was different from the Holocaust. I was trying to reassure all my fellow political prisoners. It's okay, it's different from the Holocaust. That's what I was doing in the dream. I was trying to, you know, justify this. My cousin Alex saw this black dude's messenger bag contained a rare VHS he wanted to buy from him. I kept on saying they wouldn't kill us because our university debt was the only thing keeping the economy going. People in the closet with us agreed. And that's when I woke up. So I feel like, let's just say the worst case scenario happens and it does turn into a new version of the Third Reich after Friday. Think about all the university debt that we owe to the federal government. They're not going to kill us. We owe them a shitload of money. So I think we've got that to look forward to. Am I right? Oh, God, that's terrifying. Anyway, that was my first dream. I'm going to share another dream later that is... I've never shared this dream in public. I've only shared it with a couple close friends before, and it's so fucking weird. I'm going to think over the course of the show whether I should share it or not. But I'll share it toward the end of the show. But right now, we have a special presentation from... is he ready? Okay, yes, he is ready. Our first special presentation comes to us from one of the founders of Friendly Town. He is a... It's you, John.
Me.
Yeah. Yeah, and then we'll get to the technical part in a second. Ladies and gentlemen, Friendly Town City Council is always pleased to welcome back Mayor John Hurst.
As an IT guy, I'm just so I'm so used to just immediately having to jump on top of IT grenades that I just like assume that there's a technical problem happening at any point. But that's beside the point of what I'm doing here. We're talking about bizarre dreams. I've had a fair share of them throughout the time, but there's this one where basically Hasbro needs to come to me when they need to make a Risk movie because I figured out something that like there's a whole treatment in my head involving I have a 1920s vaudeville plot. There's something involving Shoe. It's okay, whatever. But we're going to talk about... This dream this is a trifecta here. One, it is a bizarre dream, which meets the requirements that we have here today. Two, it is actually my first memory. I swear to God, this is the first thing that I remember. There's a little bit of tidbits beforehand. Like, I remember moving down to, like, in the moving truck down to Knoxville from Illinois. And but this is the first, like, full-fledged memory that I have. And third, it is a nightmare. Good. It's like... I can only imagine, like, just basically the technicians in my mind, basically going, like, working live on the clock. It's like, we gotta get, like he's 3 years old. He's ready. He's gotta have full-term memory. Like, and they turn it on. And oh, Jesus Christ! So, yeah. But anyway, so what nightmare does a 3-year-old have? Pretty much goes with what you expect. I remember being in the hallway of our house in Knoxville, in Halls, to be exact. I walked down, and I had now the toy is the only thing I don't remember exactly. I think I had it was probably like a Tennessee ball, like, you know, go ball or whatever. I was walking down the hall, and there was a mirror at the end of the hall. And it was just one of these mirrors that my dad made that growing up had like all like full wood polish. It was like almost sticky to the touch. It was like maple, basically. And, I remember for some reason I could look into it, which was weird because it was adult height, but I could look into it, and I didn't see my face in there. I saw the face of Mickey Mouse. I was like, oh. Like, but, I don't know what to do here. I'm just like flabbergasted. Apparently I was just really into Mickey Mouse at this time. But then Mickey Mouse reached through the mirror and took my toy. He took the goddamn toy from my hands. And I'm like, what do you expect to do? Your idol at the time, your corporate idol is going to do, it's like, I will take that. And it just, and throughout that process, and whatever, I guess he maybe touched, maybe like it was like kind of a werewolf persona thing. Maybe I turned blue, like what you see behind me here. But I started to turn. I see my hand started turning into the white Disney-gloved fist of Mickey Mouse and like just kind of, like, basically, this turned into a Kingdom Hearts fan fiction well before the time of Kingdom Hearts. And it was just this weird, psychotic, the only thing I can think of here is that basically, like, one, maybe this was my contact with the devil. Like, the devil and I made a deal in the form of Mickey Mouse, and I don't know what the heck the 3-year-old makes of it, the deal with the devil. Probably just, like, an Optimus Prime figure of some sort. But I didn't get it. I gotta go a lot. I led a hard life. That was my first memory. And then I woke up. And then it's like, hello, I'm a human being now. And I wandered around and just, that's how I remember things. So that probably explains a lot about me and how I work and why I'm so in like knee deep in pop culture at this moment. So, you know, all hail Mickey. There we go.
Mayor John Hurst, everyone. Keep going. Now, John is John, you're a real sport. We're going to need the projectors in a few short moments, and we just had to plug it in. And the static screen kind of came on, and I actually really like the aesthetic that this is casting on the stage, so I'm going to keep it for now. But you know, if you're hooking up the laptop and an image suddenly pops up, then you know, mute that shit. But right now, I like this blue aura that we have. Your next performer is your bartending mayor. He's someone who's been with Friendly Town from the start, from our very founding. He's very, very funny. You guys are going to enjoy him. Give it up for Todd Talky Talk Blah Blah Lewis.
It said Talky Talk Blah Blah Lewis, but it kind of sounded like Tyler said Honky Tonk Blah Blah Lewis, and I'm okay with that. Friends, dreamers, loose acquaintances, all humans, anthropomorphic animals, and both sentient and non-sentient robots. I've come from the double present of your present. Heed my warning or be destroyed. Things are happening right now, and they're quite different from the way that things have happened in the past. Expectations are changing. Just as heard in the smash hit song, Whoop, There It Is by Tag Team. Tag Team back again. Check its records, let's begin. Changes are not to be feared, my friends. Even though Queen Bitch was a better song, it's underrated and they never have it at karaoke. My point is, we should not be panicking, because I have had a dream and we must learn to keep her cool. When I was in the back seat of a car, but still driving it somehow, even though I couldn't reach the steering wheel or the pedals, did I panic? No. Anxiety wouldn't have helped me. It wouldn't have helped me drive the car, and nothing would have helped me once the bridge that I was on wasn't a bridge anymore, and I was suddenly driving into the ocean. This relaxed attitude helped me not panic and drown, as a tiny sea otter swam up beside me and handed me a Choco Taco. I did not panic or question why it didn't taste salty, even though the otter didn't even have the thing in a wrapper. I suppose I have a bit of a sweet tooth and I should have eaten before I went to bed that night. Anyway, the otter told this awesome joke as he swam away that was just the funniest. I mean, you guys are gonna love it. Well, I can't really remember what he said, but it had something to do with tacos in the ocean, or maybe it was ice cream and tacos. Anyway, so reality is wild and strange right now. But it's nothing compared to when I got to the shore, and all of a sudden, UFOs started landing, and all of these green aliens got out that looked exactly like my sixth grade gym teacher. Did I panic? No. I pulled out of a machine gun, I don't know where it came from, and started blasting those sons of bitches with like green and red lasers. I don't know why they were green and red. Maybe I watched a Christmas movie that night. I'm not sure. But suddenly they all jumped onto the top of a train with Jennifer Gardner. I don't know why Jennifer Gardner. I didn't panic about them kidnapping Jennifer Gardner. I just also jumped on the top of the train and continued shooting them. And when the train suddenly jumped up off the rails and started flying, did I panic? No. What good would it have done? I might have fallen. No, I saved Jennifer Gardner. And did I panic when Jennifer Gardner opened a door on the roof of the train and walked inside into a nice, fancy bedroom suite? Even though trains, doors, or bedrooms don't work that way? No. And I didn't panic when she asked if I wanted to hook up, even though I'm not super attracted to Jennifer Gardner. I mean, I am. She's a beautiful woman, but she's not like one of the celebrities that I have a crush on. So it's weird that this was all happening so fast. did I panic as she turned around and smiled and pulled down her drawers to reveal a strange butt or a strange face on her butt? No, I had sex with that butt face, and you would have too. Did I freak out if she rolled over to reveal she had both a vagina and a weird tentacle penis? No. I also didn't panic when I looked down to realize I also had a vagina and weird tentacle penis. And we continued to have the kind of sex that you would never describe to your friends or a room full of strangers. Did I panic when my dead grandfather came out playing the banjo and started firing bottle rockets at us? No, I did not, but it is at this point that I realized that I was having a dream because my dead grandfather never played the banjo. And so I did what I always do in this situation. I plugged up my nose and tried to breathe through it. Because if you plug up your nose and you try to breathe through it and you still can, you are having a dream. And that's how you find out. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, yeah.
Keep it going for your bartending mayor, Todd Lewis. All right, Friendly Town AV department, are we ready for the AV portion of the show?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to unmute this, and hopefully the audio works as well. This is actually the first time we've done this at Friendly Town. We have a video submission of a dream tale from our very good friend of the show, Boston McCowan. He didn't give me any sort of preview of what this was going to be, so let's hope for the best. Ladies and gentlemen, Boston's dream.
It popped up for a second, and then it did not.
I didn't mute it again.
Is like their projector on?
There it is.
Dream, my wife and I were at a college campus. We weren't attending, we were just on a college campus and we were enjoying each other's company. And I became aware that I had just been marked by a supernatural presence, that if we were to become intimate, that terrible curses and such would befall us. Well, rather than actually getting scared by this idea or terrified, I got rather angry. I looked around trying to find this presence that put a curse on me, and to my right I see this ghostly figure standing by a pyramid of stairs, and I think to myself, that must be the thing. I'm gonna go kick its ass. And I begin to approach the creature, but upon getting to the pyramid of stairs, I realize it's not a ghost, but it's someone sitting by the stairs reading a book. And what they've done is they've made a floor lamp with out of their a lampshade out of their jackets around a floor lamp so they can see better, which is a pretty ingenious idea, honestly. But I didn't even think to be where were they plugging that in at. But the important part was they were very unhappy that I interrupted their reading session. It was about that time I heard screams from the top of a parking garage nearby, and so I turned to go follow the screams, and I went towards this parking garage knowing that it was full of supernatural things and dangerous creatures, but I charged ahead anyway. I wanted to find my pursuer. I got to the top, I looked out, and there was nothing. There were no bodies, there were no blood, there were no creatures of any sort. I just felt this overwhelming loneliness consume me as I realized that whatever this was that decided to mess with me tonight was beyond my grasp. It was just this overwhelming power that just sort of lingered around me, but any time that I would turn to try and face it, it would simply vanish, and I would never be able to truly get a proper resolution. It was at this time that I realized I left my wife all alone by herself as I ran off to face these demons, so I decided to head back downstairs, and as I went to the elevator to go back to the ground floor, upon opening, there were three little girls standing inside the elevator. They were eyeing me and sort of checking me out, giving me a once-over, and I thought to myself, three little girls in an elevator in the dead of night, that's some Men in Black level creepy shit, and I decided to go ahead and take the stairs. Hi, hey, what's up everybody? I hope you enjoyed that weird little thing that I did there. Checking out some new equipment and some stuff here at my house. Sorry that I don't ever get a chance to come out to the friendly towns like these. Hoping you enjoyed that little video. Trying to make some more like it in the future, probably with actual animations. But again, thank you to Tyler for letting me do this video and release it. For those of you who don't know me, hi, I'm Boston. I'll be doing more like web content like this in the future. So thank you very much for letting me be a part of this week's Friendly Town, and I hope you guys have a great night. Enjoy the rest of your show. Take care.
Someone give that man a medal. That man a goddamn medal. That was brilliant. I'm gonna text him to let him know we all thought so. One more time for the Friendly Town Radio recording. Just so Boston knows. The exaggeratedly high standard he has set for the rest of us now. With all due apologies, your next performer, to the next performer who is going to wow you in equal measures, someone who we've actually been yet to have here on the Friendly Town stage, but he's no stranger to this stage. If you are aware of any local bands, pretty much any local band here in Knoxville, this next guy statistically plays in it. He's in about 14 or 15 different bands right now. He's been in over 300 in his lifetime. Those numbers have no statistical backing, but it's what it seems like. He's such a huge pillar of the local music scene, and he's also incredibly funny, so we're really excited to have him here. Everyone, give it up for Will Fist. Keep it going for Will Fist while he gets his leg up and fuel. Will Fist!
Man, goddamn, that video was too good. It's unfair, but life's unfair and I'm hip to it. I totally misunderstood the situation tonight. And that'll transpire as I keep talking. This is my first time in Friendly Town. I dig it, man. Friendly Town's happening. It's booming. The streets feel good. The only issue I have with it, and which plays into my dream for Friendly Town, is that we got to get a leash law on these kids. There's a lot of kids in Friendly Town. There's kids in the bars. I mean, you guys see them here with us tonight. They're everywhere. And I think if a leash situation were enacted, then, you know, as adults wouldn't have to feel so bad. You know, you look around, you see a kid, you don't want to look at a kid when you're drunk because it feels shifty in today's times. You know, it's like there's so many bad people. And if you look like a weirdo, or you even are a weirdo and look like a weirdo, then, but you're not that kind of weirdo, you might get confused with, you know, a bystander for being one of those kind of weirdos. So my idea with this whole Friendly Town is that I think it'd be really easy. Like, we gotta get some parts of the town that are designated for, like, okay, I understand that you're young and you drink. You can bring your kid here, and that's totally awesome, and everybody expects your kid to be there while you're drinking. But, you know, and I'm sure this is the way it is in other towns, you know. I've only been in Knoxville and Friendly Town. Friendly Town is my second town I've ever been in. And in Knoxville, over there in Knoxville, people will bring their kid to the bar and drink right next to them, and then just have the kid be there being a kid with a bunch of drunks. Strange. I'm not a parent, so I can't totally speak. You know, I don't fully understand how it is to be a 30-something or a 20-something or a teen-something and a parent with a fake ID with a bar and all that. Or maybe not, because you're in the 20 or 30 range. Either way, I misunderstood the assignment tonight. And I don't remember my dreams mostly. If I do, it's like there's ways to forget, I guess. But it would be nice if we could get Alicia on these kids in Friendly Town. But I'm hip to Friendly Town, and this will not be my last. Thank you, Friendly Town, for having me.
All right, Will Fist. You could have asked, Will. Like, you could, you had so long to just ask what the show was about. But it's fine. It's fine because I kind of feel like I just dreamt that. Like, I just dreamt Will Fist set. Like, I feel like that was a lucid dream, and I'm going to wake up and be like, I'm going to roll over and be like, why is Will Fist telling us to put leashes on our kids? Like, what does it mean? Man, therapy is going to be a field day. All right, ladies and gentlemen, your next presenter, someone you all know and love from the mic earlier and from all over Knoxville, put your hands together and make some noise for Jay Kendrick.
I think this dream that I'm about to tell you about is really just a good example that I need to stop obsessing over pop culture. It's not so much like dream that I had, I slept. It was more like a lucid daydream, you know what I mean? Like you just wander so far that it actually turns into a dream. I remember in my dream, I was standing on the side of the road, and we're talking like Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas kind of road, you know what I mean? Where it's like dirty and dusty, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, Hunter S. Thompson is going to be pretentious or something. And a bus comes up. And on the side of it says, enter here for the bat fight. Well, I like bats. I like fighting. So let's fucking do this, you know? I don't really have any really understanding of this medium, but let's do it, you know? So I get on the bus, and I sit down next to Gwen Stefani. Gwen Stefani's super excited about the bat fight. She's like, who are you taking bets on in the bat fight? I was like, I don't know who's fighting. She was like, oh, it's Batman versus Babe Ruth. Oh, okay. First off, what the fuck is wrong with me? And secondly, yeah, let's go, you know? So we get there and get out. It's like a Roman Coliseum, right? Like it's just real big and, you know, it's breaking down. And we get in and, like, it's a lot like the scene for the movie Gladiator, you know what I'm saying? Where it's like there's like dirt everywhere, and everyone wearing togas. I'm really pissed because nobody told me, you know? So we sit down. Babe Ruth comes out first, right? And he comes out to God Bless America, which makes sense because he's fucking Babe Ruth, you know? And then Batman comes out to Kiss from a Rose by Seal, which, if you're not aware, is on the Batman soundtrack. I'm aware of it because it was in my headphones at the time. And it was saying to me while I was sitting down, by Milli Vanilli, really, really loud. And he just comes up, like, while I'm in my seat, and is like, baby, and I can tell you from a kiss from a rose on the gray. Ooh, the more I get of you, the stranger it feels, yeah. Now that your rose is in bloom, a light hits the moon on the gray. You know, like that. He didn't kill it quite like I just did, but... like, it was pretty good, you know. And then, like, so they have the bat fight, which is really just, like, Babe Ruth drunkenly swinging a Louisville Slugger at the air because Batman actually turned into a bat, which I don't think is historically accurate. But it made sense at the time. As I'm watching the said bat fight, That's when I noticed in the corner of my eye that Freddy Krueger has popped into my dream and is fucking coming for me with the claw. Now, most people would be really scared and terrified because Freddy Krueger should not be showing up in your dreams, okay? He should only be in the documentaries that he is in. But me, personally, I was like, I must be a big fucking deal if Freddy Krueger shows up in my fucking dream. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure he only goes after, you know, B-list celebrities generally. I mean, as the movies show, you know. And then he comes at me, and he's got, like, his claw up. And as a child, my mother told me something to say in a dream that I didn't like, or maybe it was going the way that I didn't want it to go, to wake up. And that phrase is, "This is not real, I'm a God-fearing Christian." That's not true. But I still say it to this day because it always works. I don't know why it works, but it works. So he's coming at me, and I'm like, "This is not real. I'm a God-fearing Christian. This is not real. I'm a God-fearing Christian." And then, like, it's not working. Like, he's still coming at me. And then, like, as he's about to slash down, he like, looks me in the eye, and he's like, "Weather?" And then I wake up and realize that I really need to pay for my cigarettes. That was a callback to the previous joke that I did earlier. I can tell a lot of you paid attention. But yeah, I guess that was my dream. And my name is Jake Kendrick, and I really need some mental help. So, see you guys. Thank you very much. Keep it going for Jake Kendrick. Bat fight dream.
Transcendent. Speaking of transcendent, our next guest here to the Friendly Town City Council meeting is someone who we have the rare occasion of having join us. Not just because he normally works on Monday nights and has to fight for these nights off, which means all that much more to us. He's extraordinarily funny. You also can get a chance to see him, too, this weekend at the What a Joke Knoxville Comedy Festival. Everyone, make some noise for Aaron Chastain.
What's up, guys? How we doing?
All right. Awesome. Cool.
Well, I just wanted to share a dream that I feel like a lot of people have, you know, growing up in life. I mean, we all go through it. Our first wet dream, you know, like we've all had them. It's really awkward, but I'm going to share mine. All right, guys. Like growing up, my dad, he was always a little awkward, you know, like telling me about how like a male's body will like, you know, change as he grows older. Like I got the birds and the bees talk on the way to a church one morning, which the drive to church was 2 minutes. So if that explains anything, that's it right there. So one day he asked me, he said, "Aaron," he said, "you're 8 years old now, so your body, it might begin to change a little bit. Have you ever woken up and you feel like you've peed on your self, but it looks like a slug has like crawled over your crotch?" And I was like, "No, I don't think I've ever had that happen." And he was like, "Okay, well, good. But one day it will happen, and you know, and also one day your penis." And I was like, "Do you mean my a dick?" And he said, "No, don't say he said, "Don't say dick, because that's rude, but I still say dick." But so he was like, "So one day your penis, it'll get hard, and that just means, you know, that one day you'll get married and you'll get to to have these emotions with your future wife and everything, and when that happens, you'll put your penis in her. And he was like, do you understand what I mean? And I was like, so kind of like Tetris, you know, you just gotta line it up and it's all right, right? And he was like, yeah, sure, Tetris. So like about 3 months later or so, I'm laying down, getting ready for bed, and I'm watching my favorite 8-year-old nighttime show, Hannah Montana, and I'm watching it, and I'm laying down, and I fall asleep, and then and wake up in my dream, which I'm at this Hannah Montana concert, but she's only like singing the theme song over and like just repeating the theme song over and over again. It was also a nightmare, I guess. Just kind of repeating. You get the best of both worlds. I'll take it slow and rock out the show, or something like that. You know, it's been a year or two, but like yes, just repeating that for like 2 or 3 hours, and then I end up back stage, and like I walk in to Hannah's dressing room, and she goes, close the door. And I was like, okay, I will. And she begins to walk towards me, and she just slowly taking off her clothes, and I was like, okay, here it goes. I'm about to have a slug crawl through my crotch. Here we go. It's going to be amazing, guys. And she... She jumps on me, and we start playing Tetris, you know, and we're having just a blast. And then and I freeze, and I go, oh, shoot, I have to pee. And all, and after I say that, Hannah just begins yelling, no, 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 and then pee just goes everywhere, just all over Hannah Montana. I felt terrible, guys. But then I woke up, and like I was like, oh shoot, I did pee on myself, and like I checked my my pants, and the slug had crawled through. So like I began crying. I'm like screaming, and like my daddy comes in to my room, and he goes, son, what's wrong? And I go, daddy, I've got dick boogers. And he goes, okay, son, you're allowed to say dick, but never say dick boogers again, please. And that is the story of my first wet dream. Thank you very much, guys. I've been Aaron Chastain.
Keep it going for Aaron Chastain.
I wish that I would have known about the existence of the phrase dick boogers when I was 11. That would have made that experience much less traumatic for me, or however old I was the first time that happened. Okay. If you have, there's an app, I'm not paid by Evernote, but if you have room on your phone, download Evernote. It is the most amazing tool. You can just basically, like, as they come to you, you know, I'll have a really weird dream, and I'll just literally roll over, grab my phone, I wake up, and just pop open a new note and just write out the dream. And I've been going back through these for the first time in a while tonight, and it is such an amazing fountain of joy, reading back over your old dreams that you'd forgotten about. The dream I had in 2012, for example, September 1st, 2012, I dreamt that I moved into a fancy apartment building in D.C. that shared a massive land plot with the hospital my sister Brittany was working in at the time. I never actually met my roommate, but all sorts of evidence in the apartment pointed to it being Sting. I never met Sting in my dream, but I did live with him. Like, there were pictures of Sting with all these, like, famous people all over the apartment. And not, like, you know, police posters or anything that a fan would have. Like, actual, like, family photos from Sting. So I just dreamt that I lived with Sting, even though I never met him. I just knew it was him. And I think I searched for my sister throughout the hospital, and I couldn't find her. And it was really kind of depressing, because I had some important information to tell her. But I woke up before I figured out what that was. So, yeah, no, you should definitely keep a dream diary, and then, you know, on those days you're feeling down, you just pull it open and be like, holy shit, my brain, you know, and it's amazing, so do that. Anyway, your next performer here at Friendly Town, the Friendly Town City Council is proud to present a frequent contributor to our meetings and always a brilliant one. Everyone give it up. The combination of that laugh and the bottle falling over. It wasn't his bottle, though. No, you guys might want to stick around for this. You might want to stick around for this. Not trying to guilt trip you or anything, but...
They're going to die if they don't leave.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jeff Blank.
The entire front row leave when they say my name before. Worst part, I was gonna tell that one kid he was fucking awesome, man. Like, such a good joke, and I was gonna reference it and tell him what a good joke it was. I'm not gonna do that now, because fuck him. I don't know if there's a festival somewhere that I'm unaware of. Some kind of dubstep thingy. Hey, everybody! Hey, so we're talking about dreams. My dream was to be as drunk as Will Fist tonight. And, been working on it. Opened up an old wound somehow. Got a Band-Aid. It's going all right. So, we're going to talk about dreams. You know them things that you guys have? We're going to talk about them. You know all those things that they've all been talking about? Yeah, that's what we're talking about. Here's the thing. Is like, most of my dreams... I'm sure you guys understand. They become just like, they're really intricate, but then by like noon, it's just a basic, like, I remember I shot somebody. And that's like the pretty much the qualifier on the whole dream. That's pretty much the way I am too. I don't know. I have weird dreams. I'm 38 and I've been having a recurrent dream since I was 14 years old. About somebody stealing all my Christmas presents. Right? And I catch him, right? This is not that funny. It's just one of those things that I just keep having. And I was telling my buddy about it, John. And I was like, man, I keep having this recurrent dream about these people stealing my Christmas presents. I was really... And it really upsets me. Like, I wake up in a cold sweat. And he's got two twin daughters. He was like, yeah, I have a similar dream about somebody killing my two twin daughters, but your stealing your Christmas presents dream sounds really fucking terrifying, too. And I was like, oh, man, I am an asshole. That is the best my dreams get at all. Like, I had a dream where I was in the Dukes of Hazzard, but, like, not even one of the Duke boys. Like, I was Cooter. Not like helping Cooter, not like Cooter's apprentice. I was Cooter. That's as far as my dreams go. Do you realize that is my upbringing? That the best, like, in my dreams where everything that can happen, I'm still just Cooter. Like, I'm not even one of the Duke boys. I'm not Boss Hogg. I'm not Uncle Jesse. No, just Cooter, the guy what fixes the car. God damn it. He was a cousin too, though, if you pay attention to the show. But also, just pointing that out, I had a dream where I was Hall. Like Hall and Oates. See what I mean? My dreams are fucking substandard. Like, I wasn't even Oates. I was just Hall. And we were just hanging out. It wasn't even exciting. We were just hanging out eating pasta. But I was Daryl Hall. You know, Daryl Hall of Hall and Oates. I don't know what you think about your dreams where you're flying and you think you're amazing. I dreamt I was Daryl Hall. Like, my life has played itself out in such a way that the best that my brain can come up with to really dazzle me in my sleeping hours is to be like, what if you were Daryl Hall? Like, you got to hang out with Oates. Like, you don't even get to be yourself and hang out with Oates. You have to be Daryl Hall. I'm sad. I had a weird dream. Actually, let's make it very, very close. I had a dream last night, right? I fell asleep on my couch. I got a big old sectional. I fell asleep on my couch, and I had an amazing dream, and I was just floating through the ether, like floating around in space, and it was amazing. Like, it was one of those awesome flying dreams, but mine was in space, so I was like flying through space, and it was really cool, and I was like, man, this is the best dream ever. And then all of a sudden, I immediately like sank to the ground, feet on the ground, and then ants started running out of the ground and just stinging and biting the shit out of my feet and my ankles and up into my calves. And I woke up like in a cold sweat because it was terrifying. I don't know if you've been in that situation or had that dream. It was terrifying. And I woke up in a rush and my feet were hanging off the end of the sectional and they had fallen asleep. And so even though I was having that awesome dream, my brain went, oh, we got to figure something out to make this make sense. Fucking throw some ants at him. Throw some ants at him. Let's see. Let's... Ant foot. That's what we'll do. So that's how dreams work, apparently. It's your inner psyche, right? And it could just be anything amazing and beautiful and just wonderment, right? It could just be that. But a good 70% of mine are just me somehow fucking somebody I work with that I would never ever want to fuck. Yeah, huh? You've had that when I saw that fucking eyebrow go big. That's unfortunate. All of a sudden you're having a dream and you're fucking. This has happened to me a bunch of times. And I've had a bunch of shitty jobs, so it's a bunch of shitty people that I would never ever want to sleep with. But all of a sudden I'm having a dream where I'm sleeping with somebody that I would never. Not in a million years. Like, a lot of beer. Still wouldn't do it. Would be really, might do it, but would feel really weird about it. And then the worst part is then I have to go into work the next day, and I know it's fake and it's in my head, but it was in my head. And so now I have to look fucking Stacy in the eye and be like, like, I know what, how you, I wish that hadn't happened because I like we were fine, like we just got along. It was never awkward. We didn't dislike each other. We were great workmates. And all of a sudden now I got to deal with fucking you, and we didn't even do it, and you don't even know that I did. And it's just in here, and now I have to deal with that. And the weirdest part is I had one like a month ago about a girl I worked with, and. Let's get down to brass tacks. She bent over, and my first thought in my dream was, that is a clean butthole. Look at this. That is a super pink clean butthole. Didn't even fuck her in the dream. It was just like a sexy dream. But legitimately, in my own dream, was like, look at that butthole. Like, you bleaching that? What are you doing? I don't know. You scrubbing that with a toothbrush? That is a nice butthole. Look at that. And I woke up and I was like, what the fuck was that? I don't even know. And then I had to look her in the eye and I was like, and all I could think of was like, but she's got a clean butthole. Like, I don't know if she's putting Crest white strips on it or what, but it's nice, clean. All right. and then with the weirdest dream I've ever had, as I was at Friendly Town, and everyone was naked. I'm just having this one now. And I was just trying to get like Will Fist drunk and try to ignore the fact that I hurt myself and had to put a Band-Aid on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So dreams do come true is what I'm getting at. At Friendly Town, dreams do come true. Thank you, guys.
Jeff Blaine, keep it going. Jeff Blaine. Or as he'll be known around here from now on. Clink, 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 clink. It's his new name, Jeff Clink, Clink, Blank. Your next... We got a couple of dreams left for you guys. You've been enjoying yourselves so far here at this Friendly Town City Council meeting. We're rounding it out right now. We've got someone who we've actually not had here at Friendly Town before. We're very excited. So those of you guys who are in the back and want to move up toward the front here to give this guy extra support, he's actually never been part of Friendly Town or QED, as far as I know. So I've never seen him do comedy. So hopefully this goes well. I'm kidding. I'm sure it'll be fantastic because he's one of my favorite personalities from around Knoxville. And you've probably seen him at the International because he works there, but you've also seen him there having fun. Everyone give it up for my friend, Zach Payne.
Well, hello. So, when I was younger... I'm 25. So, about 7 years ago, I used to hang out in the Fort Sanders area. It's a party area, right? People get fucked up all the time. So I told a friend a dream, because I was real big into Led Zeppelin at the time. That's when I got into it. Because, you know, of course I'm young. But I was real big into it. And I told him a dream, like, the Stairway to Heaven. I had this one dream, and it was the Stairway to Heaven, and my heaven was just skateboarding and just something awesome. And immediately he just went, yeah, pussy. He just immediately went to like, yeah, man, my dream is pussy all the time. It's just fucking all the time. It's just pussy. I'm just trying to talk about something I love, like skateboarding and physics. Immediately he just said no to all of that and was like, yeah, let's just get laid. Let's just go get laid. So, again, that's gross to me. That sucks. I tried to bring into a dream that I love, just trying to talk to the guy, and he was like, nah, fuck you. The dream that I do want to talk about, you guys know that Uncle Cracker song?
The Uncle Cracker song.
Yeah, the one, the only one. Give me the beat, boys, and free my soul. Don't get lost in your rock and roll. All right, so you guys, does anyone here smoke pot? You do, right?
What?
You got, yeah, who smokes weed here? You do. Everyone has. Everyone has. I know everyone has. If you have it, you should. But if not, have you ever woken up at 7 a.m. randomly, not having to work, not trying to do shit, but you woke up and you're like, I have a day off. And you know you've got some weed. You're like, I'm going to smoke a little bowl and then fall back asleep. Now, they say that weed fucks up your dreams. You don't have dreams when you smoke weed. That's bullshit. That's complete bullshit. Because if you wake up at 7 a.m., smoke a bowl of weed, go back to sleep, and then wake up, yeah, you might not remember your dreams, but you do have a dream. And what I had was, I woke up, I don't remember the dream, but what was in my head was that Uncle Cracker song, but it wasn't the same song. The song was... Give me your dicks, boys, and pee in my hole. I'm going to get lost in your pudding bowl and yell I'm gay. So I do not remember the actual visual of that. But I think I'm bisexual now. I think that was the solidification that I should try it out. I have no idea. I guess that's my dream telling me that, like, hey, yeah, you should try it. I guess I've been thinking about it. Cool, right? Welcome to Friendly Town.
Welcome him to Friendly Town. That was his first time. I'd say that was pretty damn impressive, I have to say. Uncle Cracker. I haven't thought about Uncle Cracker in or out of a dream in about 15 years. So there's that. I was also about to say, like, no, wait, he had that follow me, everything is... Wait, was that Uncle Cracker or was that Everlast? Same white person who smokes too much. Like, that's... Everlast was the what it's like to have a blues guy. Oh, man, I'm remembering junior year of high school so bad right now. All right, we've got one more dreamer for you guys. One more here at Friendly Town. And I think you guys are going to thoroughly enjoy it because she's a friend of mine. And what you saw earlier from her during the open mic is a pretty good window into her psyche. So now we're about to get it. We're about to open that window even wider for you guys. And I don't know if Friendly Town City Council is ready for this. Jelly. Coming straight from the mind. Coming straight from the sleepscape. The dreamscape of formerly Knoxville, now Charlotte, North Carolina's own Ashton Binkley.
Renowned oracle. My dreams are always prophetic, and they will be now. So here we go. I dreamed a dream in time gone by, when days were high and life was living. Which I'm pretty sure means that in Friendly Town, our prostitution is going to like be really successful this year, so invest. Loving would be easy if the colors were like my dreams. Red, gold, and green. Red, gold, and green. I just like that song. And I'm a lizard person. Chameleons. What you got, I want. It might be hard to handle. You're making my dreams come true. I think that's about Trump. I didn't want it. Wake up, sleepy Jean. Oh, what can it mean? Somebody should wake him up. We need to wake him up. I don't remember the tune, but I will do it anyway. On the boulevard of broken dreams. We didn't need to hear that. That didn't need to happen. My wildest dreams come true. I can't sing Taylor Swift, but you know, she's a vision of America, so clearly that's what I needed. She might show up here. American dreams came true somehow. No, they won't. Running down a dream never would come to me. I know Tom Petty things. I could be a dad. Sweet dreams are made of these. Who am I to disagree? I traveled the world and the seven seas. Maybe we'll get candy later. The ice cream joke still stands if anybody wants to take me. You make me feel like I'm living a teenage dream. That one's just for Aaron Chastain. And then, of course, if it makes you happy, it can't be that bad. There's not the word dream in that song at all. I just like to any opportunity to sing Cheryl Crow. That's it. That's all I've got for you. That's my dream.
You know, she texted me this morning to say she had a dream and wanted to do the Friendly Town tonight. And I foolishly believed her.
You don't know that it wasn't her dream.
Yeah, it was my dream, that's all I know. My big question to Ashton is, where are the cranberries?
Oh, yeah.
Where were the cranberries?
I don't eat
B plus, B plus. Just kidding, A plus, somewhere in that range. That was a lot of fun. I think we'll do this again. We'll do the dream meeting again here at Friendly Town. Ladies and gentlemen, shut up, Jeff. You brought it up. You dreamt that you were in the Dukes of Hazzard and weren't even cool. How the fuck did you even pull that off? All right, ladies and gentlemen, this has been a longer than normal, but still very enjoyable Friendly Town show. Thank you so much for being here. Did you enjoy yourselves?
All right, come back next week. We're going to be doing a special edition of Friendly Town called Friendly Town Needs Show Ideas. Not just because we're out of ideas, but because we genuinely want our Friendly Town contributors to bring their ideas for shows that we can do over the next couple months. Find us at facebook.com/friendlytownknoxville. Please come back next week. Tell your friends. Let's be in this together. On behalf of the Friendly Town City Council, I hereby adjourn this meeting. Have a good night. Get home safe. We love you. Thank you.